leaders almost surely have a plan. There's clearly maybe something there beyond the realm of man. And until you've thoroughly tested every last close-chested view, I find the more you think you know, the less you really do.
That's true, Dr. Zaius.
Very well.
Where would we be without THC? 'Cause we know they're lying to us, just don't know to what degree. Yeah, where would we be without THC? The highest side chat show, Greg Carwood Company.
Happy days are here again. How's it going, Higher Side Chatters? Drinking a little drink, smoking a little smoke, and happy to present you with the last THC episode of 2015. It's been a great year with tons of amazing guests, and today is a great, insightful, and positive show for us to go out on. Seven Bomar was a suggestion from the Plus forums, and I'm glad I looked him up. Great speaker with a wealth of information. And you know I don't like to waste time, so we're going to get right into it. But first, this is the fifth show of the month, so we do have another Money Bomb winner. If you're new to the show, every month I round up half the donations and gift that back to a random listener. This month, it was $397, almost $400, and I love being able to do that. And of course, I got a message from the winner, so I'm going to play that real quick, but big congrats to him. And on the other side, we're getting deep into understanding the reality we're in, the code of the Matrix, the mechanisms behind magic, reclaiming personal power, the alchemy of money, the hijacking of our imagination, the elite's frequency of darkness, and all sorts of rapid-fire interesting stuff. So pack your glass and park your ass and tumble down the rabbit hole with me one more time before we close out the year, because we got Seven Bomar on the other side.
You have one new message.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for the money bomb. Really appreciate this. Josh in North Carolina. The shows I really like is Gerald Clark, Jim Mars, and Nick Redfern. People that I'd like to see interview would be Joe Montaldo on the Alien Agenda and Wes Germer with Sasquatch Chronicles regarding the government cover-up of Sasquatch. I hope you're doing well, and this money will go a long way. I have to pay the man for a speeding ticket. Take care.
Back in Park It, tune in and spark it, 'cause Greg's about to open up your mind. Armed with information about the secret manipulation and the wisest aficionados he can find. And he's pulling back the curtain on what we thought we knew for certain, so we can see the world with a brand new set of eyes. You're listening to The Higher Side.
All right, people, we spend a lot of time analyzing the power pyramid and the actions of the nefarious elite, but maybe we should take a break from looking outwardly today and start looking in. Well, today's guest, Seven Bomar, is here to remind us that giving too much attention to the Puppet Master's playbook is a surrendering of our power, and we might be better suited to focus on raising our consciousness level and unlocking the hidden potential we've been distracted from. Seven is a widely known spiritual teacher committed to the universal transformation of humanity and involution for all beings, the author of The Code to the Matrix, and the man behind AstralQuest.com and SecretEnergy.com. Together, a huge archive of knowledge and interactive enlightenment guide covering subjects like alchemy, telepathy, precognition, tachyon, energy bombardment, mass quantum evolutionary biophysics, and much, much more. But if that wasn't enough, he's also the man behind the Innerversity, a virtual institute of a similar nature, along with several other projects to boot. A wealth of knowledge, the man who knows the plan, Seven Bomar. Welcome to THC. How the hell are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing exceptionally well, Greg. It's wonderful to be on, and thanks so much for that, you know, concise introduction. You know, it's not every day that someone's able to cover, you know, the full scope of what's going on our end. And, you know, it's just amazing to be on Higher Side Chat. And, you know, I'm ready and available to deliver a message to the audience. And yeah, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some new stuff, and we love new. So we're going into 2016. So I think this is an amazing time for us to, you know, to start seeing and metamorphosizing what we really want.
Yes.
Versus, you know, just following the same old program.
Well said. Yeah, it's a real treat, man. Thanks. I've listened to hours of your interviews and presentations, and I still feel like I've barely scratched the surface. And I know your Innerversity course does talk about deciphering symbolism as well as deprogramming. And I think those are areas we talk about a lot here, but it does seem kind of like it's just part of a bigger process. And even though I think some of us do tend to get stuck in there, and I guess to get this ball rolling, it's a big question, but once someone is aware that they've been steered into a pointless career pushing papers around for the profits of the system, or they recognize the archonic control structures, instead of just dwelling on the negativity there and wallowing in this feeling of being trapped on the hamster wheel, what are some of the first steps to, I guess, reclaiming your life, uncovering your purpose, or manifesting a more enriching reality?
Well, that's a great question. You know, the first thing that I would say is that the system is really structured to actually demoralize a person. So there's a lot of, you know, when you start waking up, you somewhat find it impossible to get out of the, you know, the everyday run-of-the-mill kind of program. And this is because mentally, spiritually, and physically, there has been some damage. But we do generally encourage people to actually work more with their physical body first, because that's like, you know, what kind of takes the most damage. If somehow the body is not conducting enough, the pH is off, the filters, as we call them, or the organs are clogged, and these kind of things, it doesn't really matter what kind of information that you take in, because it will have to be processed by those filters. So the first thing that we really encourage people to do once they start to wake up is to start going directly inward, hence the term InnerStan, which was, I don't know if I coined it, but it's definitely something that I began to use about 7 or 8 years ago very heavily. And then I just start seeing everyone using the term. But it just means make a stand within, because you know how they say, if you don't stand for something, then you'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
But this is really about the inner stand. So it's like going into your own consciousness and beginning to see yourself as not just a member of a planet, but actually a cosmos. Because it's incredible to, when you tell someone that you're actually an entire cosmos, you can tell the depth of the programming that's actually been done on this dimension, because people don't actually believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And so my work, it's been 7 years, you know, on a consistent basis, but really all my life I've been studying spiritual knowledge. So my work is really centered around actually showing a person beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are in fact a cosmos, and that the organs in their body do play the planetary system, and that the geometry that's within the body, Phi, and what that connects to is all of the structure that we're dealing with in our creation. And so when you begin to learn that, which is basically about yourself, then you get re-empowered, literally, that your current or your currency, which are tied into each other in the body, that helps the mind, it helps the spirit to be able to make its travel and its progress, starts to build. And so a big part of that, again, is cleansing out the body. And that's starting even with the root chakra, colon cleansing and that kind of thing. And then allowing those organs to begin to vibrate at the frequency that they're designed to vibrate at. And then when that happens, the person starts to have the fuel, the will, literally, to what's necessary to push through and continue to keep pushing through what can be like a sluggish reality. So that's really the first major point that I would have to deliver. And then also really working on environmental programming. That means where you're actually immersing yourself. And the easiest way to really start checking things is to check all of the orifices, meaning what's coming inside of your vision, your eyes, what's coming in your ears, what's coming in your mouth, even what's coming through your pores, to start having your own, I would say, customs or system of defense that you set up personally to begin to guard your consciousness from what is actually entering and what could actually, you know, somewhat cause a mutiny within your own physical, mental, and spiritual structure. So, you know, it's a very deep topic, because obviously the body is not simple. It's a very complex structure. You know, it does involve more than we will ever see in technology. In fact, technology is plagiarized directly from the spiritual, mental, and physical structures of the body. So this means that we do have to spend quite a bit of time, especially realigning ourselves. And I do see that, though, as time well spent versus, you know, if you're at the job or you're, you know, catering to someone else's needs. And at the end of the day, what do you really get from that? Maybe a little bit of paper, but overall, there's not much reward.
Mm-hmm.
But when a person spends that time with themselves and begins to invest within themselves, then they find this benefit right within their thinking, right within their spiritual progress, and also being able to metamorphosize the environment that's around them. So it's definitely about the person. And that's really what this message centers around. And it's not about gods, and it's not about religions and aliens and those kind of things, even though we do have a plethora of data on those kind of things. It's still about the person themselves being the central character, if you may, in this theme. And that's how we actually exist. Everything is central to us. We see from the side of, inside of our consciousness outwards. So, you know, whether I want to admit it or not, that I actually, even with you, Greg, I revolve around your world because you're seeing me from an external level. Same thing with me. So we all have to realize that the entire existence here on the physical plane is geocentric. So things are rotating around us. So this means that if we're not at our best and feeling our best, then the only reflection that we're going to get from the reality and things that we're examining is exactly identical to what we're projecting.
Hmm. Man, well said. Yeah, we're all a cosmos. I like that. And working on the physical body is something that the conspiracy world, I think they miss that a lot. There's, if you look at the 90s, maybe more so, there's a lot of overweight, unhealthy conspiracy hosts screaming with a vein popping out of the side of their neck. And you're right. I mean, I'd have to admit that my physical body has taken some abuse, but in this system, in this modern Western society, it's definitely hard not to. And I guess setting up a system where, yeah, you have some defenses is great. And as far as there being other realms beyond this 3D reality, I think a lot of us accept that intellectually, but we haven't had the personal experience to really push us over the edge. And I know you have had some paranormal experiences that verified this for you. I guess, can you tell us a little bit about them and maybe how people can open up themselves to similar experiences? Because it seems kind of difficult.
For sure. Well, let's just simplify this, in, if we can, you know, to exactly what happens when you do start to become aware of other densities, other realms, other realities. And the easiest way to see this as is that we all emit a frequency and a vibration. And our world is in a specific spectrum. So it does, let's say, run 7 chords, if you may, and we're just using some numbers here. So let's say there's 7 chords in this whole spectrum, and as long as you don't steer outside of those chords or those tones, then you'll never realize anything that you feel is not in place. And I say that a lot about even Phi, that Phi is a specific geometric system used to create most of, if not all of, what we see around us. But in the event that we see something that is not matching that geometry, it's going to look very strange to us. It may even evoke a little bit of fear for us. So this is just to let us know how comfortable we are with this particular wavelength. So when a person's having a breakthrough, and that's a really good word, a breakthrough is actually breaking the walls or the barriers to that particular spectrum that the person may be trapped in. So, or I won't even use the term trapped in this tense. We'll just say that the person is actually inhabiting. So when you raise your vibration or frequency, or you lower it, because behold, we see the ladder going up and down. There's realms above, if you may, and there's realms below. But when you break that wall down, then you start to become aware of another realities or other realities that actually overlay this one. And generally for me, how that happened was I rose my body into a higher vibration using tones. It was actually, I won't say just completely by accident, because there's a lot of synchronicity wrapped around the scenario, but I didn't actually know that what I was doing was going to cause this kind of effect. Later on, I actually figured out that there was quite a few different ways to do this. As you know, I believe the Matrix series says, you know, some people come into the knowledge of the Matrix by entirely different means. So this means that you can do it by tones and vibrations. You can do it by cleansing the internal body. You can also do it by there's certain substances such as what we call diamond tree or DMT. There's ayahuasca. And, you know, so each of, just to explain it from that level, each of these particular aspects, whether it's mantra, those are frequencies, whether it's DMT, these are bioethnogens that are carrying certain frequencies. So these frequencies are so dominant that when a person puts them in their body, it kind of overrides the system, even if it's just for a moment. And in that process, the person starts to become aware of other things. They start to have this breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And how you really term this from a occult level is that their shells, that are actually around the person's body that are developed just like a tree over time and over them going through certain experiences, through even certain planetary systems. And these shells begin to form around the person. So when they go into these high frequencies or low frequencies, those shells are then broken. And then from that point, the person has the ability to peer into and realize other things. And so I've got some methods myself down pat. And that's just because I'm what some people would say is a psychonaut or a quester. I'm always looking to peer into other realities to find the connection. Because the other thing is that it's not like, you know, you just go there and, you know, you come back. I think a lot of the interpretations of even out of the body experiences can be a little fanciful. It's really more of that you're coming into another spectrum, and then it's up to you to begin to identify what exactly you're looking at and how that corresponds to where we are now, because there is a saying that's ancient and it's as above, so below. And allowing yourself to begin to realize the connection between what's above and what's below and how it plays out down here becomes the key to actually gaining what we call the blueprint. And we talk about this a lot in the InterVersity. But the blueprint is, after you start getting into this kind of knowledge and experience, it's so vast that you kind of look for some kind of guide or some kind of tool that you can use to determine, you know, heads from tails, what's right and what's wrong. You need some kind of bearing or compass. And so the blueprint is that. It gives the person the ability to see something on a vast level. And then when coming into this reality, see where its correspondence is. Because on these kind of realms, let's say if you're going into the macro or the larger areas to where there's really only light, there's no dense objects. So trying to interpret what you're seeing there could be quite difficult unless you realize, oh my goodness, that's the metal, that's iron, or that's a tree. And so this is almost like a brand new learning phase then. And that's what it's like, because when you have these breakthroughs, it's very similar to a rebirthing process. And when you're rebirthed, then now you have to learn everything again. It's the same thing that actually happened here on this realm. And then just as a child laying in the crib, you know, you sense more than anything what's going on. And in fact, the child in the mother's womb is very equipped to sense things through the mother's pH, the amniotic fluid, sounds, the tension that's going on within the uterus, etc. So this hypersentient being does have other faculties beside words and symbols to actually interpret what's going on. So it just really, I always say that consciousness is, high levels of consciousness is not addictive though. So it really takes for the person to keep pushing into this unknown to start to really become more familiar with what they're dealing with.
Yeah, man. And I like that you say it's not addictive, because I have had a breakthrough psychedelically, and yeah, it's great, but I haven't extrapolated a ton of meaning from it. And it validates that it's there, which is definitely something. But I've had a lot of spiritual teachers talk about the idea that we have a reason for manifesting in this matrix, a life path, an individual true will, or a higher purpose. Again, it sounds good. I think we want to feel important rather than like we're just a speck on a slightly bigger speck in an infinite universe. But how can we reach that aha moment where we really discover why we're here or what we're meant to do?
Well, the moment that we really stop giving our power away, and, you know, to make it, you know, as simple as possible, because again, we're getting into very, very complex topics, but not something that we can actually, I can't explain. So sure. I just try to simplify it as easy as possible, just for those who may be a little bit new to the content. But it's just like this, that everyone does indeed have a star in the sky, that we all correspond to a light, and a very bright light. But the distance between us and that light is likened unto our ability to realize that we existed way before we got here, and we actually come from non-existence. So that really boggles the brain. It's not even something that can really be comprehended by the physical mind. But our connection with ourselves on that expanded level is the key to our total realization of how much power and ability that we really have. So when we're in these kind of matrices, what we often are is overshadowed by, let's say, stars that actually are more aware of their connections. So we know enough that there's definitely societies that have, you know, launched almost since the beginning of when we started counting time. And there's adherence to those societies that have actually studied this in depth. and mainly the king. And this is some things that are often missed within this reality is the amount of influence that comes onto realities like this for thousands of years of what we would call the priest kings. And in those sets, what you have is you have this kind of knowledge about really astronomy. Like sometimes when people say astrology, then it gets into the paper and, you know, reading your zodiac. But this is more of astronomy, and it's teaching you the position of the stars and the power that comes from the emission or the lights from stars. And if you can ever magnify or get yourself in tune with those kind of celestial bodies, because it's light energy, then you find yourself being able to not only master yourself, but if there's some abuse going on, even able to master others. So the difficulty that we face here is first reestablishing the connection with ourselves. It's very similar to like when the umbilical cord is cut when a child is being born. The child feels like then that it's been separated from the mother, but this is all illusionary. It's part of the physical reality. It's almost like the phantom limb phenomenon when someone gets their arm cut off in the reality or in this illusionary reality, let's say, then when you see them on the astral plane, though, they still have that emission that arm is still there. And most of the time they still dream that they have that arm. And this is because that there's actually no real disconnection that takes place except for in our consciousness. So if our consciousness is disconnected from the totality of who we are, and that has a lot to do with how encouraged we feel and how much will we really have, then that's where the lack of power comes in at. And then, you know, it's like falling down. That's why they sometimes call it the fallen ones. It's like coming down falling down a giant ladder after that, because then it's to where you could look to other things such as religions, basically anything outside yourself for real answers and real truth, because, you know, everything will become somewhat, I would just say, non-identified. So a big part of this is that total realization that you're a magnetar. You're even larger than what the sun looks like. The sun is just actually really close in proximity. We already know that those stars that are out there, many of them are much more larger than the sun. But the reason why they remain so distant, and even more lately, because this is a continuous progress. This is not something that was set in stone 2,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago, and then now it's set and done with. You don't actually even see most of the times from wherever you're staying stars. Like you see them when you go out to the desert, and, you know, you go out there and you see just how many there are. And it's quite majestic, but mm-hmm. It also triggers you as a being to the fact of the total realization that that is something out there, and that something is you. And then, because, you know, it's not just, okay, you're one star out there. The total realization is that you're actually all of them. And this becomes a bit much to take for obvious reasons. We call it all is self. This means that everything is encompassed with inside of this totality that we're existing in now. But if we keep taking a part of it, which happens with our judgments, which happens with our decisions. All these words actually equal division. It's like, okay, I like white, I don't like black, and, you know, I like shoes and not sandals. And, you know, when that goes on infinitely, all we're doing is just breaking down the energy more and more and more. Hence what Phi is about. Because that's really the divisions and breaking down things into divisions, but it's all coming from the same source. So the person with the consciousness that begins to realize that they're everything and does this on a consistent basis with total faith in themselves, they actually begin to spin faster. There's the actual mechanics to this. Obviously, many people are familiar with the chakra centers, and the chakras are similar to wheels. And when that wheel, which is synonymous with the person's willpower, it's all connected even within the linguistic language, starts to build, so does this current. But it must be consistent. And obviously, if you're just getting off the block, it's not something that you begin to see immediately. And that's why they say our imagination and our belief is one of the key components to our power and to our success. So this is what it's about. But because there's no limitations in this, what a person truly can believe and conceive begins to build the more they get the proof that, hey, this is limitless. And that's kind of what happened with me in many of my experiences, is that I breached into things that not only gave me the appearance, like that I could just see it, but I can actually feel the potential and the threshold of power that we're talking about. It's actually more than the body physically can even hold. So this means that all of those myths that we're running out of power and that there's scarcity and that, you know, we're going to die and all that is actually false. And a lot of that is what you're, a lot of that knowledge and experience is building the structure that you're, it's rebuilding yourself. That's really what this is about. But there's also a key point in actually tearing it down. And this is, of course, the most difficult part, because a lot of times we tend to feel very solid within things like religious structures and concepts of an external God and mastery and as a doctor's degree and these kind of things. A person has gained some kind of solidity. So if they figure out that they have to tear that down in order to accept something greater, sometimes it's not easy, and most of the time it's not very easy to do that. But for those of us that go through that process of what we called earlier the rebirth, tearing it all down and then reconstructing it again, is very akin to an architect who builds a home first and then realizes that, you know, there's a lot of things that they would change. Like maybe they wouldn't run the pipes in that area. Maybe they would build an extra bathroom over there. So if you ever got a chance to build a house again that you're going to live in, then you're going to design it to exclude the flaws that you found in what you had been living in before. So, you know, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, man, you're great at breaking down these deep things. I love it. And, you know, you mentioned imagination, and this gets into a lot of people talk about the idea of manifesting your reality and consciousness over matter. And I'm curious, do you think that the education system we have weeds out imagination on purpose, or do you think there's just something about the process of getting older that we kind of lose it along the way?
Well, first of all, the educational system hijacks the imagination. It actually implants other like Pooh and Winnie the Pooh and Disney characters and X-Men. And that's what it does to the imagination. So in a certain sense, the system takes the real estate in your mind. Like the biggest real estate for sale is actually inside of your consciousness and the space inside of your mind. Mm. So for a person to begin to get that back, sometimes it's like almost like stealing it. You know, you have to take your consciousness actually back from something that has overridden it. And in that process, you know, we look at the word imagination. It tells us it's the image nation, or how to project something to create an entire world. And when we start tapping into that, then we realize that that was actually the entire purpose of the imagination. It's to begin to construct. It's the same thing that we're doing now, the same thing that we do in the dream. We can build an entire dream world where we're animated and acting out. We see friends from elementary school, people that we even forgot or thought we'd never remember. You know, it's almost photographic in there. And it's because the imagination is not fanciful as it's made to seem. And that's a lot of the programming is where, when, even when I say imagination, you think DreamWorks, you think Disney. And that shows us the encoding that's been done on the word. But the truth is that the imagination was our original tool as ancients to actually project. It's from our inception. The term is inception. This is when you conceive an idea internally first, which is where it all starts. And then you concept, meaning that now you're going to birth it into the physical plane. And the imagination is the key component that's responsible for those kind of actions and activities. So if the imagination is hijacked and the person believes that it's all fanciful, then they actually won't believe that they have much manifestation power and control over anything in the physical plane. But as that grows and that imagination starts coming to use, then what you're more tied into is the building blocks of the reality, like how something goes from nothing. And, you know, how do you get the desired effect that you're looking for? And then again, the imagination becomes the key component to doing that, because you can build an entire construct. And this is because we have, you know, we again call it the projector, holographic projector, in our own consciousness. Like many people think that we're actually inside of a hologram, okay? But that's the external side again. The internal side lets us see that in the frontal lobe, the corpus callosum, in the pineal gland, all this equipment, if you may, is used to project realities. We do it when we go to sleep, and we're doing it when we're awake. So when we get control of that system again, then there's really no limits to what can be manifested. And that's really what the ancients were into, is that external manifestation and creating things like beetles and jaguars and those kind of things, rather than PlayStations and iPhone 6s, etc. So, you know, that's one of the big keys is getting your imagination back and realizing how powerful it is, even to the aspect of a simple technique, is putting on some earplugs. And to the point where you can actually hear your own frequency and you'll hear this ringing. And this depends on, you know, how high a person's frequency is, but they'll hear this ringing, ringing, and it's not tinnitus. It's actually the person's personal frequency. And through your imagination, you can actually raise that frequency. You can hear the tone going higher and higher based on your own thought of, hey, this tone should go higher. And then, but when you're doing that, you're also simultaneously increasing the vibratory field in your body. So this is literally the spaceship. We're inside of it, but we've, in a certain sense, lost the ability in some way or another of how to actually really utilize it for its true potential. But now we're getting back into that because of a deep secret, which I mentioned on one of my last shows. But it's basically that. So what technology is, you know, it's very demonized, especially within the this conscious structure. I mean, the people who would demonize it are the same ones that do it over a telephone or they do it over Facebook. So it's kind of oxymoronic. But the truth is that there's nothing that's in this reality that's not taken from the organic life form. So, of course, the camera is the eye. The antennas are the hair. And it goes on and on and on. Cars are almost like a direct replication of the body, from the motor to the generator to every single thing else.
Yeah.
So this means that when you come into the realization of that, as this what they would say is more advanced technology comes out, for those who know how to decipher it with the as above, so below blueprint, you start to get the keys to the secret levels of how the spirit works and how light works and those kind of things. So what I feel like personally is in 2016, we're going to see the grand unfoldment of many things. 2015 was a very powerful year, whether people feel like that or not. But 2016, because this is exponential and it's quantum, will deliver even more. But many people are in fear of that, because they think that it's just going to be only in one level, that we're just going to see more control from the controllers. But where there is darkness, there will be light. This is physics. So what happens is that there's still a large repository, if you may, or a receptacle, if you may, of this powerful energy that is yet to be used by those who really understand how to convert it into something that we can actually use in this reality. So I'll close that thought by saying it's the same thing when you come into the face of all-seeing, all-knowing being that you are. There's a real vivid energetic potential to this. This is not fanciful. So in many tenses that you actually feel this energy coursing through the body, and then you see the entire reality coming alive on you. But more is the energy is what I'm wanting to tap into here to let people understand. So once you start feeling that energy, then you realize, man, there's nothing that can't really be done, but with just one being. Now, you can do things for yourself. You can metamorphosize your entire reality. But if we're talking about doing this on a worldwide scale with 7 billion people, then, of course, others are going to have to be taught these energetic dynamics. And then once that happens, then it's very catchy. It's literally even to the point of contact, and it's called Shakti, to where a person literally receives a boost of energy based on the connection that another person may give to them. And this could be done through words. This can be transmitted through the frontal lobe. This can be transmitted in ways that even transcend space and time. And so this is even what's happening during this conversation now, that the more that the person hears what they already know, that they're just remembering, as in putting back on their members, the more that they start to gauge the ramifications of what I'm discussing here, then it enlivens us. Just as when a person hears one of these very profound messages, they walk away from that message with some level of energetic potential and some level of encouragement. So we have to begin to realize that even if I said, you know, you won the lottery, man, and you're 100% sure that I'm telling you the truth. I'm the lottery guy. I'm calling you. You bought the ticket yesterday. I repeat the numbers off to you. You won. Which kind of be the worst prank. I don't want to give any pranksters an idea around here. But if that happened, you wouldn't be able to sleep that night. I mean, the level of energy that you would feel. And this is all based on just an idea. There's nothing that has transpired there except for the fact that you fully believe that tomorrow you're going to have millions of dollars. So we have to realize that, of course, that the currency, as they call it, has replaced our energetic potential within our body. So if we don't have a lot of money, sometimes we don't even feel like leaving the house. Sometimes it limits what we're capable of doing. But the true currency is within our own consciousness and the power within our system. So a lot of what we teach gives the person the step-by-step process of how to start building that current. So that way also you get familiar with it, because there's also another situation that occurs that if a person happens to get a lot of currency all of a sudden, let's not say just monetarily, even though we've seen what that looks like, but even physically, if a lot of energy starts to course through your body, then it could become almost a horrific experience, because the body is just not familiar with being in that particular spectrum and in that particular wavelength. So this is something that, as I say, the universe is a university. Earth is just one of my classrooms. And through this experience, I'm learning, now that I'm just into the components of building self and the realization that all is self, I can help more people if I've completely perfected myself to my level of perfection, then now I can begin to share that energy and share that knowledge in a very accurate way.
Man, yeah, that idea of hijacking our imagination, that adds a whole new level to the role of Hollywood in the system. I mean, to build up forms in our minds before our imagination can really get to work. I mean, all anyone's really talking about now is the Star Wars movie coming out again, and right. It just seems like that same kind of thing. And I've also had people talk to me about this connection that science seems to be actually coming to, where they see a connection between video games and people who are big gamers and the inability to lucid dream. And there might be something to projecting our consciousness into an avatar on the television screen that hinders our ability to actually take control of our own avatar in the dream world. It's kind of interesting. I think you're onto something there. I think there really is a relationship. And this thing you mentioned about our financial currency being connected to the energetic potential that we have inside of our body. I've heard you say that before, found it really interesting, but I'm curious, why do we see so many elite, so many of the nefarious members of the power pyramid, very rich in physical currency, but they don't seem too spiritually evolved?
Yeah, because they invert the current. So, but first I want to get to you mentioned something even deeper, and it's just about the avatar. You know, I just have to, you know, confess that I've been a big gamer for years. And it's just,
man.
You know, we grew up in a certain culture, and that culture presents an outlet by allowing us to tap into a virtual reality. Of course, now more so than ever with Oculus Rift and these kind of things. Mm-hmm. But if we really want to understand what's going on with archetypes and, again, hijacking consciousness and actually diverting energy, there's a lot I actually did a full elaboration on this, and it's called deprogramming. But what it's really about is how the system, and I'll just go through this as fast as possible, but the system that we're talking about, the U.S. educational system, comes from Prussia. And the Prussian situation, which occurred during the Prussian War, which they lost, was after losing the war, let's say the king brings everyone in, hey, why did we lose the war? And what's reported is that the soldiers are basically not taking orders. They're not following orders. They basically can't be commanded to go in to die. Mm. So they said, well, we need to, you know, revamp the entire system, and we need to start from when they're younger. And then we need to incorporate a system that basically makes them subservient to the king, just like accepted masonry is to be an oath to the king. So from that point on, even in our educational system, we had no such thing as a doctor's degree or a master's degree before we actually took on the Prussian system. And the first PhDs and doctor's degrees that were issued in the United States of America came from those that were educated in Prussia, such as Horace Mann and many other individuals. So from there, you also still had in the Prussian system Grimm, brothers Grimm, who were actually creating large dictionaries in attempts to use the English language for nefarious purposes and linking what was in the English language into the old Norse traditions of Wotan and the king and, you know, the hunt and all these kind of things, which, you know, actually a message that I'm going to bring this Saturday because it's Christmas. It centers a lot around holidays, and it centers a lot around these characters that were given in folklore and in fairy tales, and how those characters ride with us for a prolonged period of time, almost until death. And these rituals that take place, which is basically even tuning in at a certain time, or, you know, Christmas is always on the same day. And those kinds of rituals are really tying us into a lack of creativity, because, of course, there are things to be observed on those days. There's astronomical alignments, winter solstice, etc. But when's the last time that we actually decided what we were going to do those days and how that was going to really work?
Right.
So that's the first thing, is to, you know, a big part of being innovative or a pioneer means that you actually begin to create something somewhat new as possible. And because we've been in this old mold for this prolonged period, adapting basically a maniacal death culture, then right now we're encouraged to begin to, you know, come out of that whole shepherd's fold and start to really be innovative and creative with what we're doing. And we can use all these things as tools, because the same thing to me, I never felt like personally that, well, there are some very dark games, but I do feel like that my consciousness, as far as how fast I could react, how much that I could really perceive, was enhanced through gameplay, because the reality is very illusory and very game-like before a person actually gets to the meat of what's really happening here. And in that, so chess, which I play also, it has a certain combination of moves that the pieces can do certain things, but it's nothing like, let's say, Call of Duty, where you have a whole entire arsenal. But what I'm saying is that you have more integers in which to plug in. And for the person that goes hyper with their consciousness, which is what I did, I found that ability to immerse into virtual reality, let's say, was accompanied, once I let most of that go, with being able to lucid dream. And when I figured out, which I was doing this as a child, even before I started playing games, I was lucid dreaming. And then when I was in my teens, I seemed to lose that ability. And I think we can accredit that to the hijacking of our consciousness. But then that returned at a certain point to where I realized, man, you know, I can control my dreams. And then even the realization of that, which, you know, we take for granted that everyone is aware of that. Even some people, even when they hear about that they can do it, they do it the first night. Now, they may have a hard time doing it the second night and the third night, but it's something that once you figure out that you can do, then it taps you into an entirely different way of utilizing your consciousness. And in that, you can use your body, well, in this case, your RAN, your spiritual vehicle, to go and fetch information for you, to immerse yourself into something that could take you lifetimes to learn, but you can do it all in one night. So that's really what I want to say about that specific part of our consciousness that does go out voyeurly into other realms and other dimensions. And, you know, once we get beyond just, you know, EA games, you know, that Saturn challenging everything, and we get into realizing that, look, all this stuff connects. There's nothing here that doesn't have a real, like Sony is Scion. You know, you move the Y into an I, move the letters around, there you have it. Scion is also 2012. You turn the letters, and this is how the English language works. It's a code, because the people who built this language were Cloak and Dagger. They were they used Cladistan methods. They were deep into the symbolism and the encoding and to working others' consciousness with this program that we're calling English. So there's also a lot to be revealed when it's not just our enemy, because there's two sides to everything. It's, you know, we're encouraged to search for the other side of things and not just, you know, judge things one way and not find that match or that pair, because everything in the dualistic reality will have it. So what I found in one of the major advents of my awakening, which is why I wrote the book, The Code to the Matrix, was the keys within the English language, because language can't actually be changed very fast. So you can't just erase a person's language and then plug in the new one. You have to make a complete transition. So when you start studying the language, the English language, it starts to tell a story. And then this story starts leading you into the total realization. And then you can even jump into languages that are a little bit before English, like Latin, and then continue that story all the way back until you're in ancient Sumerian and you're at the root to what this story is really about and what language is really about, which is worlds. As they say, words you add an L, which is generally a right angle, which means a God entering a realm, you get worlds. So when a person that has power knows how to use words the proper way, they build worlds. And that world, as we're seeing, it's the same word whirl, W-H-I-R-L, meaning to spin. And that same spinning motion, which is phi, is how things are created. So this is what we're saying about how the knowledge will confirm itself. Then you no longer need, you know, some guru or some master or whatever, you know, giving you parts of the truth or selling you the truth, etc., because you have what's necessary to actually get, you know, to get what you need out of any situation. So moving on, the difference between current and currency within the so-called elite is because, first of all, they've invented a falsified system known as money. And we don't need to go into that because everyone's pretty much aware of that now.
Right.
So, of course, they can print and manufacture as much of this stuff as they want to appear as if they're elated over all others, because mainly spiritual people don't have that same connection with financial gain, because this means that they have to get deep into the system and the system doesn't really allot those kind of things. So that's the first explanation, but it's still not the complete thing, because there are people who, when activating themselves, are able to generate current within the body, and then that current simultaneously manifests as actual physical money too. I mean, it's just abundance. Let's just not narrow it down to just money. It becomes children. It becomes land. It becomes trees that are fruitful. It becomes rivers that have running water coming through them. So money is not the only check for whether a person is actually abundant. And also with the controllers, just to understand what gives them this power, if you may, is because they invert their kundalini. And this is what you learn in the ancient traditions, is that obviously the kundalini is in the base of the spine. It has retreated from the temple or the corpus callosum, or the top area of the brain, the crown, if you may, and it has tucked itself down into the spine and coiled itself up. So what you will see in dark rituals and rituals that involve, let's say, sex magic and those kind of things, kind of what Crowley brought forth, which, of course, was very instrumental in the development of Hollywood, etc. But you see through those rituals that they are inverted. And that's why their symbol is an inverted pentagram, because the pentagram is a symbol of man, mainly the pentagram with the curved edges. It's the same pattern that Venus is tracing out in the night sky. It doesn't look like the pentagram that they draw with the straight lines. It's the pentagram that you see in flowers and sand dollars, that kind of pentagram. And there's a big difference. But what they show when they invert the pentagram is they're saying that we're basically turning the world upside down. We're turning man upside down. And there's Masonic images with the man hanging upside down, aka the hangman. And when that happens, the kundalini, instead of making the ascent up the spine and into the crown and then beyond the crown, sitting into the invisible areas on the top of the head, it goes down first and it goes dual. And that's the two legs. It goes dual into the legs and then down into the sole of the feet. And then what happens then is now the person, and there's a whole lineup of these kind of people. And when you know about this kind of stuff, you know who has inverted kundalini. And so in this lineup, what you have then is you have basically people who've tapped into the demonic side of themselves. The word demon means a divided man, daemon or a diamond. Okay, so a divided consciousness, and that's because the consciousness is not residing to where it's unified, which is in the top in the crown. It's dualistic, which is in the legs. And so the body is the symbol. That's why the pentagram has those two points on the bottom. That's duality. So when the person goes into that stage of consciousness, now they're very warlike. And in that warlike kind of structure, and what I'm getting to here is that with this inverted kundalini, then what they will attempt to do, and this is what the world is kind of centered around, this is the key point to this, is debase everyone. Because if they can push everyone down lower than where they are, then they have power over them. And this is why you see that in the tarot card, the devil's got the man and the woman chained to him. Okay. And so what the metaphor is behind this is that if a person is made to feel like they are even lower than God, okay, because God is a specific being. It's the Germanic god Gud, who was a king and an Aesir. He is Oz, which is his other name, or Odin, a.k.a. Santa Claus. Okay, so this is all the same character. He has many names. And it's just the same thing that interacts in the reality now with the royalty, a.k.a. wannabe royalty kings, wanting to push everyone else down. Oh, we're the only kings. We're the only royalty. This is that program. And so when people believe in that through the conditioning and even through programming and suggestion, then this is what makes them not as powerful as someone who's even got inverted kundalini. So this is the answer to why you see, you know, Madonna, you name it, being so prosperous while, you know, Sister Betty, who seems like the greatest person in the world, is struggling even trying to pay rent. And this is because still the same concept that's infecting Sister Betty, which may even be religion, is something that they have overcome because they created religions. Religion is only the deification of a culture. So this is, you know, this is how deep it gets. It gets into the languages, and that's why the term deprogramming is not, you know, a snap of the finger, like, you know, I love genie, and then everything's going to change. This means a step-by-step methodical approach to remove the virus from our consciousness without destroying the host. Because that's the other component. Because if you remove something, and this is why a lot of my message in the beginning, and this again, 7 years, was centered around revealing the true identity behind the characters in the religions. But I quickly figured out, well, I don't know how quick it was, because I think it was like 3 years, but I figured out that this wasn't actually the best way to really come at explaining to people the depth of the programming that they were experiencing, because it immediately got them into conflict, because they can't actually let go of that easy. Because when you take something like that's the foundation, if you may, of a person's consciousness. So you pull the foundation up, now they don't have anything to stand on. So if you're not really quick at putting something there, which would be them, because you don't want to put another God there, you don't want to put another story there, then you find that the person becomes very demoralized. And only few make it. It's like almost self-substantiation. You're basically telling this person that there's now no longer an external God and that they are God, but they don't have any real idea of what that's supposed to even be like. Right. So we talk first about, you know, first get into your body and actually get this stuff cleaned out so you can feel your power and your energy. And then we'll start working with taking apart some of these what you would see is the archonic structures, as we mentioned earlier, in the conversation, and this programming that has gone on within the mind that has literally set up a fictitious world in which the person exists in.
Mm-hmm. Man, fascinating stuff. And I know for some people, the over-commercialization of this kind of material, the New Age community in general, it can turn some people off. It can make them skeptical, but man, your eloquence, it really drives me to put stock in what you're throwing down, because it's just so dense. And, you know, I'm just a humble stoner trying to hang on, but I do love it. And I guess just before we get out of here, we talked so much about balance, and you did mention pH balance and diet and even breath. But to leave the people with something tangible, what other balancing activities would you recommend for people who might be kind of energized at this moment and kind of looking for the next step?
Well, the main thing is actually to come out of judgment. See, everything that I mentioned today, I was generally mindful at telling people, you know, well, like even with the bad guys, they're just characters in the play.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, they're playing their role. They're holding up that particular part of the spectrum. It doesn't mean that we want to go be that or join that. But, you know, we learned from that. That's kind of like a contrast to what you don't want to be in a certain tense. So what I feel like is that one of the biggest things that allowed me to transcend a lot of the brain drain, mental drain, spiritual drain, physical drain, which keeps us from going into the higher states of consciousness, is just the judgments and writing something off. Because if we never see the other side to things, then we actually won't see the other side to ourselves. Because let us all not make a mistake in believing that there's still an essence of even what the Illuminati is doing within everyone. Even when a person flies down the street in their car and burns up all that oil and blows out the part of the environment. So we're all playing our part in this. So this means that in many tenses that if we get to the point where we're not judging, we're just actually making sense of all of it and putting it into its proper place, because that's what a supreme being does. When everything is in its place, then it works perfectly. And I put this into a metaphor by letting people understand that manure shit. It's horrible to eat.
Right.
But it works great for plants. So it's just about where you're putting it to determine what its true use is and what its true purpose is. And I find everything to be that way, that when things are out of place, then you got unbalance. So that's the first thing, because then if you judge it, you never realize that subconsciously that you're actually judging yourself. All is self. So what it requires is it requires maturity. This is why the adept is adult. These are almost the same word. Because adult and the adept is capable of using compassion to deal with the children. This means like mediocre concepts and things that still need to be graduated into a higher state. This is the adept is using compassion, because that's also the trait of the divine feminine, which we all have. We're positive and negative beings. We're male and female, even if we feel polarized towards one or another. And that compassion is that even if a woman, a real woman, has a retarded child, she will take care of that child. If the child is disfigured, she will still take care of that child and love that child like it's the same as all other children, because that's compassion. Versus when a person lacks compassion, if there's a flaw, then they're discarding it. They're not even going to try to work, repair it, help it, any of that. So this is a part of when we gain back that other side, because remember what we talked about today. Most of the reality is designed in the masculine structure and the fiery, burning, etc. So this means that we're generally lacking the feminine side of ourselves. And that's why the feminine side of the consciousness is the spiritual side, right? And we're just, again, we're not talking about female woman. We're talking about what's behind the eyes. So what happens is that this balance is serious. We have to really, really look at in our lives, are we getting too much of one and not enough of the other? And then how to put that into balance is stop focusing on all this external stuff that you can judge, you know, because that's also a reflection to when we can't change anything, we just choose to judge. Oh, man, she's just got the wrong clothes on today. Look at that, just raggedy, you know, and just, oh, my goodness, I can't believe he's with that dog. That dog is a maniac. And if we start watching our minds, we'll find that the mind spends all of its time judging because it's trapped in Cain and Abel. It's trapped in the two temples. So that's one of the big pointers, is find the meaning, solve et coagula, meaning actually find the solution here. Don't just keep highlighting the problem, and never believe for one moment that the solution doesn't exist, because the solution exists before the problem. The root to the word solution is soul. Surely the sun existed before the shadows. The shadows are the problems. It's like the Plato's cave as an analogy. The shadows don't bear witness at all to what's casting them. So we're encouraged, instead of trying to blame the first immediate thing you see, to look beyond, but even that beyond being within, and say, okay, where is this going on in me? Because I'm only seeing a mirror and a reflection. So that's the greatest pointer that I can really give today, is for us to work with our compassion. And as I said, etymologically, it's the compass to Zion. Zion is a projection of the mental, spiritual, and physical mainframe. That's why Sony is so deep into the virtual reality and so deep into technology, because they create Zion. And so for us, because Zion just means a projection to get through it, because that's what people need. They need that bearing. You have to find yourself more willing to actually assist and switch the polarity, because the polarity for most people is take, 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 take.
Yeah.
They seldom give anything. And that means, though, that they haven't tapped into the most powerful force, which is known by the Kemetans as the subjective plane. Subjective plane is only giving. The reason it does this is because it knows a deep secret. When it gives something, the only thing everyone else is going to do is go create something out of that. And so because of that action, it will live through it. So I'll make it simple. The subjective plane is pure energy, unhindered, undetermined, undefined. It has abundance of it. It will never run out. It's limitless. When a person takes from the subjective plane, they can only create something with it. When they create something with it, it actually becomes that. And I can leave everyone with this, this experience that I had. I was on top of a mountain, and I actually had blown open the third eye. And at this point, I could either go into sheer terror or laugh at what I was seeing, because now I was once again way over my head. And I was beholding the entire landscape and how it was all actually one form, which was too much to take because it was a large life form. And you got from the frequency and the energy that the whole world was one life form. I mean, you're really getting it. You're just not hearing. I mean, they tell you that, you know, the world's alive and blah, blah, blah. But those are words. Yeah. Words are not experiences. So when you're actually in there and you see the whole thing. But what was most flooring to me, what took me aback, I was taken aback, was because it was even the things that we call inorganic. Meaning that the cars, the trees, and all the other things were all part of this being. And when I laughed, because that's the only other thing, you sometimes get stuck like Joker in that position, but when I laughed at the whole thing just to keep from folding under what I was beholding, then it explained. See, that's what I did. I disguised myself as every single thing that my children are using. Because they still don't want to come to me. And it's because if you really think about it, every single thing that we build, we pull from the earth.
Yeah.
Whether it's, I don't care if it's plastic, I don't care if it's glass. The only thing that we do is we pull it from the earth and we, like clay, mold it into something else. And we say, oh, TV.
That's true.
But we're never realizing that all of this stuff is actually coming from one massive life form. And that one massive life form is living through all this stuff and watching us and interacting with us through that. And until we're ready to see it as it really is, all one thing, then we're not ready to graduate. But once we do, that's when we become everything. Say, all seeing, all knowing. There's no place to take anything from, because where would you put it? You see, and that's what we're talking. There's nothing to talk to because no one's listening. It's like that's the totality of our power. And we can prove this from a fact that it exists. It's more firm for us to stand on than concepts that are far-fetching and external, etc. So I encourage people to, I mean, if you know you have the time, check out the InterVersity. It's on secretenergy.com. We go through this methodically, you know, because this today, you know, we had a smorgasbord.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, it's a little bit in there for everyone. But, you know, if a person's looking for, okay, I need that particular topic to be, we need to drill into that. I need to know everything about, you know, what's going on with my body, or, you know, what is my real connection with the cosmos? And, you know, those kind of things is what's really addressed, because everybody kept saying, you know, hey, you know, if you one day could put all this, you know, one particular topic. And so the InterVersity consists of seven or nine different topics that we cover. And so that's what's up. And also, you know, just to let everyone know, I have much compassion for our species. So this is why, you know, this has been nonstop. Like, somebody could listen to the first recording and see that I was still going on like this. It may be about something different. Like, the words are backwards, and that's why it turns your brain into a certain direction, hence the term backwards. But I mean, there's so many jewels and gems, and it was because it was given to me, pressed down and running over, meaning that there's no end to this. Once we tap into it, it's us. So that's why I don't actually, you know, it's not hard for me to get in here and do this, because this is about us. And because I'm an optimist, I'm only looking forward to the times that I've already seen, which is when we're all together.
Amen.
So that's what's up.
Boom, man. Right on. Yeah, that definitely brings us to the finish line. I definitely feel a little bit more clarity on some of these things. And I know you could do this for hours, and hopefully I can have you back.
For sure.
In the meantime, man, if people do want to hear more from you, you did mention the InterVersity. Remind them of some other places they can look.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's hundreds of videos and audios. You can go to astroquest.com, and they're there. And if you type in Google AstroQuest Podomatic, you'll get right to the Podomatic, and they're just all lined up. So you can actually just put it on your cell phone and just, we call it riding out. You know, most of these recordings are at least 2.5 hours long. Damn. Some of them, I think my maxi is like 6 hours.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, that knowledge is there. And then also the site, and there's also elements and different things that a person can choose to utilize to assist them in the process. So I wanted to say thanks, you know, to Higher Side Chats and for calling me out and getting me here to deliver this message, because, you know, it's always an amazing time to connect with new people and to have this opportunity to share.
Yeah, man, you're very welcome. I appreciate that. And yeah, so I guess with that, you know, take care of yourself out there. Very powerful. Have a good one.
No doubt. Let me know, you know, if you need anything or you have any questions. I'm always available.
For sure. Thanks.
Okay, brother. Talk soon.
All right, man. Peace.
Okay. Wholeness.
Yeah, wholeness.
There it is.
Wow, people. What a great show to end the year. Seven broke down Christmas really well in the Plus show, and it made perfect sense to put it out as the last one of the year. And that kind of final exchange is also a little bit of an inside joke for people who heard the Plus show. But I do think it's a very motivating one for this New Year's resolution time of the year. Start working on your body and your mind. Start working on those inner realms. The thing is, with this kind of stuff, and even working on your passion or your dream, whatever you feel called to do, no one's ever going to put pressure on you to follow through. So sometimes a decade can go by in a job you hate, and you've had the same idea in your head the whole time, and you haven't acted. But nobody has a personal interest in you doing the things that you want to do but you. So put a little positive pressure on yourself and prioritize it. Either way, I really like this idea that Hollywood and the education system are both just there to hijack our imagination. We don't create in our minds anymore because we fill them with the creations of others. It's a really interesting way to think about it, and it makes sense. I also liked talking about the frequency of darkness as it pertains to the elite. Language and seeking balance, all good stuff. The Plus show is great too. It's another one of those episodes I wish everyone heard the full 2 hours because it flows so well, but Seven breaking down the levels of consciousness and animal consciousness was so interesting. The idea that the Earth is a reflection of our collective state of consciousness and our lack of balance is the direct cause of the Earth's wobble, and then talking about a time before the wobble, Of course, the creative potential of holes and poles. A lot of you know what I'm talking about, eh? Another great part was the evil trappings of Christmas. Great breakdown there. And I totally think he made some great points, not to mention the commercialization of Christmas and the religious stuff. But I do like the Christmas season overall because for all its faults, it is the one time where being extra kind to people is highlighted and taking time off with your friends and family actually takes priority over working on the grind. I mean, I was always in retail, so I had to just appreciate these things in theory, but it's still an easy time of year to be positive when the world isn't always so accommodating. Anyway, of course, sign up for Plus to hear the whole thing and the entire archives and get involved in the forums and suggest guests in the most likely way to get them on the air and help a show you love. It has been a wild year and I have really liked the roster, just to mention a few. I mean, we talked to Joseph Farrell twice, several Crow shows that were great, the infamous Eric DeBay Flat Earth show, Santo Bonacci, Richard Merrick on interference theory and the Venus Blueprint, Eric Dollard talking about the physics fallacy and the true nature of the sun, Brooks Agnew on the Hollow Earth, Clyde Lewis from Ground Zero, John Hamer on the Titanic conspiracy, David Noakes with the GC Math show, that was a good one, Cara St. Louis, Harold Koutsvela, Matthew Cross and the Fibonacci sequence, Linda Moulton Howell, Jim Mars, Chris Knowles, so many great guests, so many awesome topics. I'm very proud of what I've done this year. I hope you guys have really enjoyed it and learned some stuff. And here's to many more years to follow, Higher Side Chatters. But that is it for me in 2015. Your move, you powerful creative being you. Your frickin' move.
Sweet dreams to the elite. We're calling them out on TAC. Uncovering secrets and conspiracies. Everybody's looking for something. Some of them want to use you. Some of them want to get used by you. Some of them want to abuse you. Some of them want to be